الحمد لله، الصلاة والسلام على رسول الله. يسر إخوانكم في موقع دار الحديث بالشحر أن يقدموا لكم هذه المادة لفضيلة الشيخ أبي عبد الرحمن عبد الله بن عمر بن مرعي بن بريك حفظه الله تعالى. والآن مع المادة.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله رب العالمين، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. أما بعد، فاليوم نحن إن شاء الله مع سورة الماعون، وهي سورة مكية، وكالعادة نقرأها ثم نقف بعض الوقفات فيما يتيسر من تفسيره ما يتيسر منها. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. أرأيت الذي يكذب بالدين فذلك الذي يدعو اليتيم ولا يحض على طعام المسكين فويل للمصلين الذين هم عن صلاتهم ساهون الذين هم يراءون ويمنعون الماعون. هذه السورة كما تقدم هي من قصار السور التي أرشد الشيخ عبد العزيز بن عبد الله بن باز رحمه الله تعالى إلى قراءتها وحفظها وتدبرها والوقوف في معرفة شيء من معانيها، لأنها كما تقدم من قصار السور التي يحتاجها المسلم والمصلي في صلاته وفي حياته. ويقال فيها كما قيل في السور قبلها يحتاج المدرس والمدرسة أن يلقن كل منهما من تحته من الطلبة والطالبات ويتتبع نطق هذه الآيات، وخصوصا عند الأحرف التي يشق نطقها عند من لم يتعود اللسان العربي، بالنسبة لمن كان عندكم ممن يشق عليه النطق لبعض الحروف كما سبقت الإشارة إلى بعض ذلك. وإن تيسر التنبيه على شيء من أحكام التجويد مما يحتاج إليه القارئ في تصحيح قراءته وتحسينها فهذا أكمل وأفضل. وأما تفسير هذه السورة فعلى وجه الاختصار، هذه السورة من السور المكية، والسور المكية كما تقدم معنا الإشارة إلى بعض معانيها أنها تتضمن في الغالب خطابا للمشركين، ولهذا ترون في هذه السورة الخطاب من أولها للكفار الذين يكذبون بيوم الدين وهو يوم البعث والجزاء والمعاد. أرأيت الذي يكذب بالدين، أي هذا خبر من الله عز وجل، والمراد منه التهديد والوعيد لمن هذا حاله وهذا وصفه. أرأيت أي يا محمد، والخطاب للنبي عليه الصلاة والسلام ولأمته من بعده جميعا. الذي يكذب بالدين، أي الذي يكذب بيوم الدين ويوم الدين كما تقدم معنا هو يوم الجزاء والثواب والمعاد، يوم البعث والنشور، فإن المشركين يكذبون بذلك. فهؤلاء توعدهم الله عز وجل بالعذاب الشديد كما في هذه السورة وفي غيرها من السور الأخرى. وذكر ربنا جل وعلا من صفاتهم التي تدل أولا على ثمرة هذا التكذيب، كيف أدخل عليهم الشر وأدخل عليهم كذلك الأعمال والعقائد والعواقب السيئة في الدنيا فضلا عن الآخرة. ومن ذلك هذه الصفات المذمومة التي ذكرت في هذه السورة، وكل ذلك يستوجب عذاب الله عز وجل وسخطه. ومن ذلك قوله جل وعلا فذلك الذي يدعو اليتيم، أي من هذا وصفه أنه يكذب بيوم الدين فإنه في الغالب يلحقه كما سبق شيء من العواقب السيئة في الدنيا فضلا عن الآخرة، من سوء الخلق والتجبر والظلم وعدم الرحمة. ومن ذلك هذا الذي ذكره الله عز وجل فذلك الذي يدعو اليتيم. ومعنى يدعو اليتيم أي يدفعه ويقهره. فأصل الدع هو الدفع على وجه القهر والتجبر. فقوله سبحانه فذلك الذي يدعو اليتيم أي من خلق هؤلاء أنهم يقهرون الأيتام ويظلمونهم ويعتدون عليهم، فضلا أن يكون منهم لأمثال هؤلاء شيء من الإحسان. وهذا من ثمرة التكذيب بيوم الدين، فإن المكذب بيوم الدين لا يرجو ثواب فيحسن لأجله ولا عقاب يخاف منه فيكون منه الوقوف عند حدود الله، ولكن لما كان أمثال هؤلاء في غاية من البعد والإعراض وكذلك التجاهل لمثل هذه العقائد أثمرتهم تلك هذا الجفاء وهذا الشر الذي منه هذا الخلق الذميم. وفي هذا كذلك فضل اليتيم وأهمية الإحسان إليه. وبالضد كذلك فيه التحذير من الاعتداء عليه وظلمه وقهره، وكل هذا فيه إشارة إلى ما ينبغي أن يكون عليه المسلم من الأخلاق الرفيعة مع اليتيم ومع غيره. ولهذا جاءت الأحاديث الكثيرة التي تحث على الإحسان إلى اليتيم والتحذير من الاعتداء على شيء من حقوقه، حتى قال النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام أنا وكافل اليتيم كهاتين، وأشار إلى أصبعيه أي في الجنة. وكذلك على العكس الاعتداء على اليتيم موجب لعذاب الله وسخطه في الدنيا وفي الآخرة، والآيات والأحاديث في هذا كثيرة، ولكن المقصود هو التنبيه لهذا المعنى. طيب ترجم أخونا أبو حذيفة ثم نكمل الباقي إن شاء الله.
أو الشيخ أبو عبد الرحمن عبد الله بن عمر العدني حفظه الله تعالى started his lesson by saying بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, bearing witness that none has the right to be worshipped except Allah alone, who has no partners, and asking Allah to make salawat and salam upon the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then he said, we are going to look at the tafsir of Surah Al-Ma'un, inshaAllah ta'ala, today. And the translation I have in my copy here of the translation of the meaning of the Quran is Surah Al-Ma'un, the small kindnesses, which is Surah number 107 in the Quran. And Shaykh Hafizahullah ta'ala was saying this surah is a Makkiya surah, meaning it came down at the time when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was living in Mecca before immigrating to Medina. And as we're used to, Shaykh started by reading out the surah for us, and I shall read it out inshallah ta'ala in English. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Have you seen him who denies the recompense? That is the one who repulses the orphan harshly, and he urges not on the feeding of al-miskin, meaning the person in need. So woe unto those who perform salah, the musallin, those who delay their salah, those who do good deeds only to be seen of men, and who withhold al-ma'un. Al-ma'un, as translated here, small kindnesses like salt, sugar and water. Then Shaykh Abdullah Hafizahullah ta'ala he repeated one more time the importance for the teachers to give great attention to teaching those small surahs to the students in the masajid, whether it be from the male teachers or the female teachers to the sisters, and to correct the pronunciation of this ayat, and to pay especially attention to those letters which might be a problem as far as pronunciation is concerned in whatever country you might be. As this has already been mentioned before, and Shaykh is saying, if it is possible for you to learn some of the rulings of Tajweed, then this is obviously even more virtuous. Then, talking about the tafsir of this surah in a summarized way, Shaykh is saying that this surah is from the surahs who came down at the time of Mecca. As we said, this is before the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam made hijrah to al-Medina. And as mentioned before, the surah which came down at the time of Mecca, they usually encompass speech which is directed towards the mushrikeen, the polytheists. And this is why you see that here the speech is directed to those people who deny the recompense. The recompense meaning the reward that will be given to the believers on the day of resurrection. So meaning that they deny, like we say in Arabic, al-bahth wal-ma'ad, meaning the fact that we will be resurrected from our graves and returned into our bodies and gathered on the day of judgment. So those people are the kuffar. And the kuffar, they deny what is mentioned, meaning the day of resurrection. And this is why, because of this denial, that this surah encompasses this strong warning and threat, because of this denial. So Allah says, have you seen, O Muhammad, and whoever is with you and comes after you from the believers? Have you seen the one who denies ad-deen, meaning the recompense, as we said, the resurrection and the rewards according to the deeds? Those are the ones that Allah has threatened with His torment, with His severe torment. And Allah is mentioning to us the characteristics of those people who deny the day of resurrection. And we have to understand that the fact that they denied the day of resurrection and that they denied the fact that people would be rewarded according to their deeds, this is what made enter into them this evil characteristics that are mentioned in this surah. Because they were turning away from this belief of resurrection. أرأيت الذي يكذب بالدين فذلك الذي يدعو اليتيم. Sheikh is explaining the meaning of the second ayah, يدعو اليتيم. The meaning of this word in Arabic, الدع, meaning to push away in a harsh way. يعني that there is some sort of pride and tyranny which is felt through this action of الدع. Like Allah has described those people. So Allah is explaining to us that the people who deny the day of resurrection, this will be from their characteristics. And this is because they have turned away from meditating upon the reality that we will be rewarded in accordance to our deeds. So they do not care about their deeds. So their turning away from this belief of resurrection has made enter into their hearts this evil characteristic or this evil character. So those people, they harm the orphans, because this is the meaning of that. It's not just not being merciful to them and showing goodness to them. No, it's even to the point that they harm them. Then Sheikh went on saying, at the same time we understand from this ayah the fadl of the orphan, the fadl, like we say, the virtue or the high rank of the orphan, that Allah has made him yani has granted to the orphan that's yani has mentioned the orphan in this way, and how Allah has warned us against transgressing against the orphans. So this is this encompasses the indication for every Muslim that he should strive towards having good character towards the orphan and be generous towards the orphan and show goodness to them. Because like the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, me and the one who has taken upon him the kafala, meaning yani put him yani who's been made in charge of an orphan, will be like those two. And then he showed his index and his middle finger, meaning that they will be like that close in Jannah. Naam.
وقوله سبحانه وتعالى ولا يحب على طعام المسكين هي ثمرة أخرى من ثمار وآثار عدم الإيمان بالله عز وجل وعدم الإيمان بالبعث والنشور والإيمان بيوم الدين، فإن من ثمرته كذلك عدم رحمة المساكين وعدم الإحسان إليهم، ولهذا كان من صفة هؤلاء كما ذكر ربنا جل وعلا ولا يحض على طعام المسكين، أي ولا يحث على تيسير هذا الطعام للمساكين، فضلا عن أن يقوم بنفسه بالإطعام. وهاتين الآيتين هذه وما قبلها كقول الله عز وجل كلا بل لا تكرمون اليتيم ولا تحاضون على طعام المسكين، فإن من صفات الكفار ومن ثمرات عدم الإيمان بالبعث أن يصاب صاحب ذلك بالإعراض عن أبواب الإحسان، فلا هو يحسن إلى يتيم ولا إلى مسكين، بل عنده من التجبر والظلم واللامبالاة بأبواب الإحسان
ما يدفعه إلى الإعراض عن مثل هذين الصنفين ونظائرهما وأمثالهما من باب أولى. وقد ذكر هؤلاء لأنه الغالب الأعم، وأمثال ذلك ونظائره كثير مما يستحق الإحسان كالفقير والأرملة والشيخ الكبير والطفل الصغير وغير ذلك والمريض وغير ذلك من ذوي وأصحاب الحاجات. والمعنى ما تقدم من أن هؤلاء بلغوا هذا المبلغ، وهذا من ثمرة عدم الإيمان بالبعث، وهذا مما يلازم وصف الكفار في الغالب. وفيه دليل على أن الكافر يعذب على خصال الكفر وعلى تفاصيل ما يقع منه من التقصير في الواجبات والوقوع في المحرمات، فإنه يعذب على كفره، ومن كفره عدم الإيمان بالبعث والنشور، ويعذب كذلك على ظلمه للأيتام وقهره لهم وعدم إحسانه إليهم، وهكذا يعذب على اعتدائه على المساكين وعدم إحسانه إليهم، فكل ذلك يعذب عليه. وقوله سبحانه: فويل للمصلين الذين هم عن صلاتهم ساهون، هذا ذكر لصنف آخر ممن شابه أهل الصنف الأول. فأهل الصنف الأول كذبوا بيوم الدين، فأثمرهم ذلك التكذيب هذه الأعمال السيئة والأخلاق الذميمة، فخسروا الدنيا قبل خسران الآخرة. وهكذا صنف آخر شابه هؤلاء، فكان عندهم بعض معنى ما عند أولئك. ولهذا ذكر العلماء في تفسير هذه الآيات معاني كثيرة تجتمع في معنيين اثنين، ذكروا معاني كثيرة تجتمع في معنيين اثنين. أن هذه الآيات أولا، المعنى الأول أن هذه الآيات في حق المنافقين الذين يظهرون الإسلام ويبطنون الكفر، أو يظهرون الإحسان وحقيقتهم الإساءة. والصنف الثاني أو المعنى الثاني أنها في حق من ضعف إيمانه، وإن شئت فقل أهل النفاق العملي، أهل النفاق العملي، ومنهم المقصرون كما سيأتي إن شاء الله تفسيره. ووجه الشبه لأهل هذين المعنيين بأولئك الكفار الذين كذبوا بيوم الدين أن المنافق في حقيقته مكذب ليوم الدين، وأظهر أنه يؤمن وهو ليس كذلك، فأثمره ذلك كذلك خسارة الدنيا قبل الآخرة، وهو يستحق للوعيد المتوعد به أولئك الكفار المكذبون ليوم الدين. لأنه في الحقيقة ليس بمؤمن، وهكذا كذلك أهل المعنى الثاني وهم أهل النفاق العملي الذين أصلهم من أهل الإيمان لكن عندهم تقصير، فإن أمثال هؤلاء ليس عندهم يقين في أمر الإيمان بيوم الدين، وعدم اليقين هذا أثمرهم المشابهة الظاهرة لفعل المنافقين والكافرين ولو من بعض الوجه ليس من جميع الأوجه، وبقدر هذا التقصير يلحقهم من العذاب في الدنيا وفي الآخرة، وتلحقهم آثار الإساءة في الدنيا وفي الآخرة. ولهذا قال سبحانه: فويل للمصلين الذين هم عن صلاتهم ساهون. جاء في تفسيرها عن بعض الصحابة والتابعين أنها في حق المنافقين الذين يصلون في العلانية ولا يصلون في السر، وجاء عن سعد بن أبي وقاص موقوفا بإسناد صحيح عنه رضي الله عنه أرضاه أنه سئل عن هذه الآية فقال: هم الذين يضيعونها عن وقتها. وروي عن ابن عباس أنه قال: أما إنهم ما تركوها بالكلية ولكنهم أخروها عن وقتها. وهؤلاء سواء كانوا من المنافقين الأصليين الذين يصلون رياء وسمعة ومجاملة، أو من المؤمنين الذين هم ناقصوا إيمان فيحسنون إلى أحسن الناس ويسيئون إلى أساء الناس، فدينهم دين غالب المجتمع وإحسانهم مع إحسان غيرهم وإساءتهم مع إساءة الغير، ولهذا يضعف إيمانهم ويزيد بحسب حال تواجدهم في المجتمعات التي يكونون فيها، وهذا خطأ، بل ينبغي للمسلم أن يثبت على الإيمان الذي علمه وأن يقيم الواجب الذي أوجبه الله عز وجل عليه سواء أحسن الناس أو لم يحسنوا، وسواء أساء الناس أو لم يسيئوا. فإذا من تفاسيرها ما سمعنا، ومن ذلك تأخير الصلاة عن وقتها فإنه من السهو عن الصلاة، من السهو عن الصلاة إذا كان هذا عن تفريط. أما إذا كان هذا عن غير تفريط وإنما هو فيما لا يملكه الإنسان فصاحب هذا معذور، مثل النوم مثلا مع الأخذ بأسباب الصحو، فالنائم عن الصلاة وهو قد أخذ بأسباب الصحو فغلبته عينه لإرهاق أو غيره معذور، وعلى هذا يحمل قول النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام: ليس في النوم تفريط، ليس في النوم تفريط. أما إذا كان صاحب هذا النوم يعلم أنه إن لم يتخذ الأسباب فلن يقوم مثلا لصلاة الفجر، أو يضبط الساعة مثلا إلى ما بعد وقت صلاة الفجر إلى وقت الدوام للعمل، فهذا تفريط ظاهر ويلحقه هذا الوعيد في هذه السورة وهذه الآية على وجه الخصوص. بل بعض أهل العلم حكم على مثل ذلك بالكفر والعياذ بالله، إذ تعمد فوات وقت الصلاة، لم يضبط ساعته المنبهة على وقت صلاة الفجر، بل ضبطها على وقت الدوام، فهذا غاية في التفريط وصاحبه على خطر عظيم. فإذا قوله سبحانه وتعالى الذين هم عن صلاتهم ساهون يدخل فيه الذي يصلي نفاقا، والذي كذلك يضيع وقتها، والذي كذلك يتكاسل عن أدائها على الوجه المشروع، حتى عدم تأديتها على الوجه المشروع يدخل في هذا المعنى، كما قال الله عز وجل عن المنافقين وإذا قاموا إلى الصلاة قاموا كسالى يراؤون الناس ولا يذكرون الله إلا قليلا. الأصناف قلنا الذين يصلون نفاقا للناس ليس لله سبحانه وتعالى، وهكذا كذلك الذين يضيعون الصلاة عن وقتها بتأخيرها أو التلاعب في تقديمها، وهكذا كذلك الذين لا يقيمونها حق القيام بأداء أركانها وواجباتها وشروطها، فكل هؤلاء يدخلون في معنى هذه الآية. والواجب على المسلم أن يحرص على أداء الصلاة على أكمل وجوهها من حيث الوقت ومن حيث الأركان والواجبات والشروط وغير ذلك. نعم.
Then Sheikh Abdullah حفظه الله تعالى went on to the next ayah. ولا يحض على طعام المسكين. He does not encourage to feed the miskin, the person who is in need. So this is another result of the disbelief in Allah and the disbelief in the Day of Resurrection. This behavior, which is the behavior of not being merciful towards the weak people, the masakin, the people who are in need, and not having ihsan towards them, not showing goodness towards them. This is another characteristics of those who deny al-bahth, يعني the Day of Resurrection. So Shaykh is saying he does not encourage to, يعني, as Shaykh said, to make easy the feeding of the poor people, meaning to make ways or put things in place for poor people to be fed. So min babi awla, even more so, he does not do it by himself. If he's not encouraging other people to do it, he does for sure not do it by himself. Sheikh Abdullah is saying those two ayat that we have just mentioned, the first one about the orphan and the second one about the miskeen, they're like the ayah in the other surah, but verily you do not show ikram, meaning goodness and generosity towards the orphan, nor do you encourage to feed the needy ones, the people in need. And this is because those two characteristics are often found in the kuffar. Because the fact that they turn away from Iman, the fact that they turn away from believing into Allah and in the day of resurrection, this makes them fall into this way of looking at things and this sort of behavior. They repel those who deserve good behavior with them, the orphans, the poor people, the widow, the elder person, and so on and so forth. People who do not believe in Allah and in the last days and in the day of resurrection, you will see that they will end up having that sort of behavior. And Shaykh is saying this is in most, this is like that in most of the cases. This is not a general rule, but this is the case in most. Yani this is like that in most of the cases. And Shaykh is saying this surah shows us, or we can understand from those two ayat here, one of the points of belief of the people of Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah is the fact that the kafir is not only punished for his kufr alone. He is punished for his kufr, for disbelieving, but he is also punished for every other sins he might do, from transgressing against people, against poor people, against orphans, and not having good behavior towards them. Because we see that in this surah, Allah has threatened those people, although they are already kuffar. Then the next ayah, فَوَيْلُ لِلْمُصَلِّينَ. Shaykh is explaining, now we are going on to another type of people. But the second type of people resemble the first type in different ways. The first type of people, as we mentioned and repeated, they denied the day of resurrection completely. So this led them to have these evil characteristics that we mentioned. And the second type of people will find with them some of those characteristics and behavior. And the ulama have mentioned many different things concerning those people, the second type of people that is mentioned in this ayah. And Shaykh Abdullah is explaining that all those meanings, they all return to two main categories. The first category is the category of the hypocrites, al-munafiqun. They are the people who show Islam outwardly, but they hide kufr within themselves. And also we can say that they will show from the outside ihsan, good behavior and well-being towards other people, but in reality, they are hiding their isa'a, meaning their evil character and their evil behavior. Yani they will not make it public, although it's present. And the second type, which the ulama have mentioned, is what we say we call in Arabic al-nifaq al-amali, meaning the hypocrisy of deeds. Meaning those people, they are not disbelievers, they believe in Allah, but they are shortcoming. Their belief is not very strong and their deeds, because of the weakness of their belief, you will see that their deeds are not very strong either. So Sheikh went on explaining to us what's the common point from this first group that we mentioned in the first ayat, meaning the disbelievers, and this second type of people, the munafiqun. We said the first ones, they completely deny the day of resurrection and they don't believe into it. So this led them to have these characteristics as has been mentioned before. So the cause of this, we see that the cause of these characteristics are the fact that they denied the day of resurrection. This is what led them to be like that. And the second group, meaning the munafiqeen, although they make appear Islam, they hide the kufr which is in themselves. So you will see that them as well, they will have those evil characteristics come about and those evil behaviors come about because the sabab, meaning the cause which has brought it about in the first category, is present in the second category. So you will see the same fruit appearing in the second category. Now, the second part of the second category, we said the believers, but who are, have very weak iman, those who fall into nifaq amali. We say those people, we cannot say that they are disbelievers. But because their iman is so weak, their faith is so weak, you will see that the weakness of this faith will make come about the same things that will come about in those who have no faith at all. And this will be in accordance to the degree of faith they have. The weaker the faith, the more you will see those evil characteristics come about with them. And the stronger the faith, the less you will see those evil characteristics come about with them. And so, because of the resemblance that they have as far as the weakness of iman is concerned and bad deeds is concerned, which follows from this weakness of iman, you will see that the effects of these bad deeds will also come to them in accordance to the degree of their weakness of iman and the degree of their bad deeds. They will have the same effects coming to them as the kuffar and the munafiqeen, but not to the same degree. It will be only in accordance to the degree of their shortcoming. And this ayah, فَوَيْلُ لِلْمُصَلِّينَ الَّذِينَ هُمْ عَنْ صَلَاتِهِمْ سَاهُونَ. Woe to those who make salah, but who are sahoon عَنِ الصَّلَاةِ. Sheikh is explaining that it has been mentioned in the tafsir of this ayah from some of the Sahaba, that this ayah was revealed concerning the munafiqeen, the people of nifaq, hypocrisy, because they only pray apparently and publicly, but they do not pray when they are by themselves. They do not care about praying when they are by themselves, yani not in public. And it has been mentioned by others from the Sahaba, from them, Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas, that he said that they do delay the prayer until after the time of prayer. Meaning when the time of prayer went out, they only established the prayer at that time. It has been reported by Abdullah ibn Abbas that they say they have not left prayer completely. All they have only delayed the prayer until the time of prayer went out. So, Sheikh Abdullah is explaining that those people who have weak iman, you will see that those people, they take from their religion in accordance to the community they live in. If the people around them are good and make good deeds, have ihsan, you will see them having ihsan. And if they have isa'a, evilness, you will see them fall into evil. So they live their religion in accordance to the community they live in. And this is wrong, because the obligation for the Muslim is to establish his religion in the best of ways, in the most complete of ways, as Allah has ordered him to do, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And from this isa'a, from this evil that they fall into, is the fact that they make salah late. They make salah after the time of this salah, salatul dhuhr or salatul asr or whatever has already come out. And this is a type of neglectance, tafriq, neglectance or shortcoming. But Sheikh is saying that this is only for the people who fall into this this establishing the prayer late because of neglectance, not because of things that they have no control about. Like, for example, the person who has very deep sleep, but who has taken every possible way to be woken up on time for salah. He takes, he puts his alarm clock, and maybe he asks his family to wake him up or whatever. But although he has done all of this, he still did not manage to wake up for the time of Fajr. Then this person has done what he could to wake up on time, but because of being exhausted, hard work, and so on and so forth, or maybe having had insomnia or whatever, he was not able to wake up, although he has done everything he could. So this person is not blameworthy. And this is the meaning that we understand from the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam when he said, لَيْسَ فِي النَّوْمِ تَفْرِيضٌ, meaning there is no neglectance in sleep. We understand that this hadith is directed to the person who takes the causes of waking up on time for salah. But for example, if the person knows that he's unable to get up unless he puts his alarm clock for Fajr and so on and so forth, but he doesn't do it. He say, I'll wake up inshallah. Although he knows very well that he won't be able to do it unless he puts his alarm clock. Then this person falls into neglectance. And Sheikh is saying even some of the scholars have said that the person who on purpose puts his alarm clock later than the time of Fajr. For example, he puts his alarm clock on time to go to work, but not for Salatul Fajr. So meaning he wakes up after Salatul Fajr went out. Then some of the ulama have made takfir of this person, have declared him to be a disbeliever, because this person fell into the most extreme... Now, some of the scholars, not all of the scholars. Because this person fell into an extreme type of neglectance concerning this obligation with this prayer. So, as a summary, we mentioned that the people who are meant in this ayah, they are first of all the people of nifaq, the hypocrites. Those who pray just to make the prayer apparent to the people publicly, but in reality they disbelieve. And also enter into the meaning of this ayah, the people who neglect their prayer, in the sense that they purposely pray it later than the time of prayer. And also enter into the meaning of this ayah, the people who do establish the prayer, but they do not give it the right care and importance, meaning that they neglect some of the obligations of prayer. And the obligation upon the Muslim is to be to strive to accomplish what Allah has put upon him in the best of ways, meaning by respecting its time, respecting its conditions and all its obligations. نعم شيخنا.
مما سبق نعلم أهمية الصلاة وخطورة التفريط فيها وأن المفرط فيها كاد أن يشابه الكفار في عدم إيمانهم بيوم الدين، لأن المفرط عنده ضعف في يقينه في الإيمان بيوم الدين المستوجب للحرص على الثواب وأبوابه والحذر من العقاب وطرقه. وقد ذكر ابن القيم رحمه الله تعالى لفتة لطيفة عند قوله سبحانه فويل، فبين رحمه الله أن الويل وهو العذاب الشديد، وذكر أنه واد في نار جهنم، ذكر في القرآن لصنفين من الناس، ذكر في حق الكفار كما جاء في مواضع من القرآن، ومنه هذا الموضع، ومنه قوله سبحانه فويل للمشركين، وهكذا كذلك ذكر في حق بعض أهل الإيمان، وذكر منه قوله سبحانه فويل للمطففين، وقوله سبحانه ويل لكل همزة لمزة، وأشار رحمه الله تعالى إلى أن هذا فيه أن هذه الأعمال لما كان فيها مشابهة لفعل بعض الكفار، يعني ولو كان من الظاهر، كان فيه الجزاء بما هو قريب من جزاء الكفار، ولكن الفرق أن الكافر يخلد في عذابه والمؤمن يعذب وهو تحت المشيئة بقدر ذنوبه، إن عذب يعذب بقدر ذنوبه. فإذا كان هذا في حق التضييع للصلاة مثل ما سمعنا، ومنه مثلا التضييع لأجل الرياضة أو أجل النظر إلى وسائل الإعلام، أو كذلك الاجتماعات في الحفلات وغيرها، ففيه مثل هذا الوعيد الشديد. فكيف بمن تركها بالكلية والعياذ بالله؟ فإنه أشد وأشد، نسأل الله السلام والعافية. ثم قال سبحانه وتعالى: الذين هم يراءون ويمنعون الماعون. إن من ثمرة من هذا حاله الرياء. الرياء هو حب مدح النفس بما ليس فيها، إما من إظهار الأعمال الحسنة وهو ليس صادق ولا هو من أهلها، وإما بغير ذلك من الثناء والإدعاء باللسان ما ليس له حقيقة في الفعل، كل هذا من الرياء. قلنا إما أن يكون بفعل الشيء الذي لا يقصد به وجه الله سبحانه وتعالى، وإنما يقصد به ثناء الناس بأن يحسن أمام الناس وفي السر لا يظهر منه ذلك، وإما أن يدعي بلسانه الإحسان وهو ليس من أهل الإحسان، فهو أصلا لم يصدر منه فعل، وهذا أشد من الأول. فالأول صدر منه فعل، لكن فعله في أوقات معينة، والثاني لم يصدر منه فعل أبدا، وكلاهما من أهل الرياء. وأهل الرياء أول ما يبتلون به أن أعمالهم إن وجدت فهي محبطة، كما قال النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام فيما يرويه عن ربه سبحانه في الحديث القدسي فيما رواه مسلم من حديث أبي هريرة: أنا أغنى الشركاء عن الشرك، من عمل عملا أشرك معي فيه غيري تركته وشركه. وهكذا مع حبطان هذا العمل كذلك يعذب عليه يوم القيامة، كما قال النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام: من سمع سمع الله به، يعني فضحه يوم القيامة، ومن يرائي يرائي الله به، من يظهر للناس أنه محسن وهو ليس بمحسن يفضحه الله عز وجل يوم القيامة، فيظهر للناس جميعا أن هذا من الكاذبين ليس من أهل الإحسان والعياذ بالله. وفي هذا التحذير من أن يعمل الإنسان الأعمال الحسنة ولا يصدق فيها، سواء الإحسان إلى اليتيم أو إطعام المسكين أو الصلاة أو غير ذلك من أعمال الخير والبر، ينبغي للإنسان أن يصدق فيها. وقوله سبحانه: ويمنعون الماعون، إن من صفات من لا يؤمن بيوم الدين سواء المكذب له أو من عنده قلة يقين بيوم الدين فهو ضعيف الإيمان، إن من صفاتهم أنهم يمنعون الماعون. ومعنى يمنعون الماعون أي يبخلون في إعطاء من يستحق العطاء مما ينبغي أن يعار. وفسر وجاء عن عدد من الصحابة والتابعين أنه إعارة الدلو ونحوه من الأواني التي قد يحتاج إليها من يستعيرها، وهي لا تضر من استعير منه شيئا، لأن الدلو سيرجع إليك كاملا ما ينقص منه شيء. ومنه كذلك ما من الله عز وجل عليك من سائر الأموال التي ينبغي أن تنفق مما أعطاك الله عز وجل فيها. وقد صح عن النبي صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وسلم أنه ذكر الخيل وأن أصحابها على ثلاثة أصناف: فهي لبعضهم أجر، وهي لبعضهم ستر، وهي لبعضهم وزر. فالتي هي له أجر، التي اتخذها عدة يعتد بها للجهاد في سبيل الله، فطعامها وروثها وكل ما يعطيها ويخرج منها له فيه أجر، والتي اتخذها ستر هو الذي اتخذها لنفسه ينتفع بها ويتجر، فهذا هي له ستر، لكن جاء في الحديث إذا حق أدى حقها الذي عليه فيها. ومن حقها الذي عليه فيها أن يركب عليها من يحتاج إلى الإركاب، وهكذا جاء في ذكر أصحاب الإبل كما في حديث أبي هريرة، كذلك أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم ذكر أن للإبل حقا، ومن الحق أن يركب على ظهرها وأن يعير من ضرعها، يعني من يحتاج ويستحق، من يحتاج ويستحق. وقد ذكر العلماء مسألة غريبة لأجل أن نعلم كيف أن للناس حقوقا في أموالنا ونحن ربما لا نشعر. أشار ابن القيم رحمه الله إلى مسألة من مسائل الإعارة، وهي أن من وجد مالا لغيره واحتاج أن يستعيره لضرورة فأخذه، قال هل تجب فيه أجرة أم لا تجب فيه أجرة؟ قال للعلماء فيه قولان: قول أنه لا تجب فيه أجرة ما دام قد اضطر إلى ذلك، وقول آخر أنه تجب عليه أجرة المثل. ثم رجح رحمه الله أنه على قول من قال بالأجرة فإنهم لم يزيدوا على أجرة المثل، والصحيح الأول أنه لا أجرة فيه ما دام مضطرا. مثاله: لو أن رجلا مر فوجد وعاء يحتاجه لأن يشرب به أو يطبخ به طعام وهو مضطر، هل يأخذه؟ كما سبق أنه يأخذه. ثم اختلف العلماء هل مثل هذا الرجل الذي استعمل هذا الوعاء يجب عليه أن يدفع أجرة لمالكه إذا جاء؟ اختلفوا ورجح كما سبق ابن القيم رحمه الله أنه على قول من قال بالأجرة فإنه لا يعطى أكثر من أجرة المثل أبدا، لا يزال أجرة المثل، يعني مثل هذا الوعاء إذا استعير كم يعطى مثلا؟ قالوا نصف دولار، إذن ليس له إلا نصف دولار، لا يجوز له أن يطلب أكثر أي المالك. والصحيح أنه ليس له أصلا أجرة ما دام أنه مضطر لاستعمال هذا الوعاء. ومثله كذلك عابر السبيل إذا وجد شاة فيها لبن وهو مضطر يخاف على نفسه الهلاك والموت، هل يجوز له أن يشرب من هذا الضرع؟ الصحيح أنه يجوز له أن يشرب. وهل عليه أجرة المثل؟ على ما تقدم قولان للعلماء، والصحيح أنه لا شيء عليه ولا يجب أن يؤخذ منه شيء. وهكذا قل في نظائر ذلك من سائر ما يملك الناس. فإذا كان هذا في مثل هذا المقام فالزكاة المفروضة أشد، الوعيد فيها أشد، وغير ذلك من الحقوق التي دل الشرع على إيجاب الحقوق فيها هو من باب أولى وأحرى. فالخلاصة، هذه السورة دلتنا على معان عظيمة تستوجب المؤمن أن يقف عند حدودها، وأن يعلم أن من مقتضيات الإيمان بيوم الدين الإحسان العام والإحسان الخاص، وأن من آثار ضعف الإيمان بيوم الدين حصول السيئات في الدنيا وقسوة القلب وقلة الخير والبر، وقلة الخير والبر فضلا عما ينتظر صاحبه من عذاب الله وسخطه في الدار الآخرة. نسأل الله سبحانه وتعالى لنا ولكم التوفيق والسداد والسلامة والبر، إنه ولي ذلك والقادر عليه، والحمد لله رب العالمين، والله تعالى أعلم.
So our Shaykh Abdullah Hafizahullah Ta'ala went on saying that we have understood from what has preceded the importance of Salah and the dangers or the danger of neglecting this rite of Salah, and that the one who is falling short or neglecting the Salah, then he is resembling the Kuffar, because the neglectance of Salah is showing a weakness in yaqeen, in certainty of what Allah has promised. And Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala has mentioned some benefits in the word wailun. What's the meaning of wail? Wail has been mentioned in its tafsir that it means the severe torment, and it has also been mentioned that it means a valley in the hellfire. So this is to show us the strong threat that is linked to neglecting Salah. And Ibn al-Qayyim says that this word wail is mentioned in the Quran for two types of people. The first type of people are the mushrikeen, the polytheists, the kuffar. Allah has threatened them with wail. And the second type of people are the people of Iman, the Muslims, but who fall into specific types of sins. Like for example, Surah Al-Mutaffifin, those who do not give other people their rights in business and trade, or Surah Al-Humazah, the backbiters. So, because of those, Ibn al-Qayyim indicated that these deeds, they are from the characteristics of the people of Kufr. And that's why you see that the same sort of threat is directed to the people of Iman, who take those characteristics of the people who do not believe in the Day of Resurrection. But though we have to mention that there is a very important difference between the Muslim who is threatened with this and the Kafir, because the reality is that the Kafir, he will abide in the hellfire forever, نسأل الله العافية, whereas the Muslim will be punished in accordance to the degree of his bad deeds. So Sheikh is saying that we have to understand that this warning or this threat is directed to the people who neglect prayers. So we have to understand that if we neglect prayers for things like watching sport on TV, for whatever championships or things that we are trying to follow on TV, or gathering at parties or meetings with friends and so on and so forth, if we neglect prayer for that sort of things, we are not excused. And we enter into the meaning of this ayah, of the threat that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put upon us because we are neglecting this right that He has upon us. And Shaykh is saying, meditate. If this is the case of the person who is neglecting doing the prayer on time, how is it for the one who leaves prayer completely? Then the next ayah is saying that those people, they have riya, meaning showing off their deeds. The meaning of riya is either that the person is doing a real good deed, but His intention of doing this good deed is not because he wants what is with Allah. The reality is that he's only doing this good deed because he wants to show off to people. And the second type of person is that he is making good deeds appear although he does not even do them in reality. But both of them want to be praised by people and so on and so forth. But the difference between the first one and the second one is that the first one, at least he does it, really. But the second one, he leads people to think that he's doing good deeds and in reality he's doing nothing of that. He just wants to be praised without even doing good deeds. So Sheikh is saying that both of them enter into this meaning of Riya. And Riya, from the dangerous character of Riya is that first of all, it nullifies the deeds on the day of resurrection. Like the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in the hadith which was reported or narrated by Abu Huraira in Sahih Muslim, is that from the torment on the day of resurrection from the person who's doing Riya is that first of all his deeds are null and void. Like Allah says, أَنَا أَغْنَى الشُّرَكَاءَ يَعْنِي الشِّرْكَ. I am the one who's the most above need from partners. So whoever does any sort of deed and has taken a partner with me in it, meaning that he has done it also for other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then I leave him and his shirk, meaning this partner that he has ascribed to me in this deed. So meaning that this action is null and void. Allah has not accepted it. Then, as has been mentioned in another hadith as well, whoever is trying to get sum'ah, like we call in Arabic, sam'ah, meaning is that he's showing off his deeds by way of narrating them to people. He's telling people about what he has done and so on and so forth. Then Allah will tell about him on the day of resurrection, meaning that Allah will reveal the falsehood of this what he has been claiming to the people in the dunya. So in here we have a severe warning against not being sincere in our deeds that we do in this life. Then the last ayah, يمنعون الماعون. This is another characteristics of the people who deny the day of resurrection and the people who have weak iman. It's the fact that they are stingy as far as giving to people what they deserve. Like for example, like has been mentioned from some of the Sahaba, is that they refuse to lend you a cup, for example, or a small container. This is something, lending it to a person, it will in no way harm you because he's just going to give it back to you in the same way you have given it to him in the first place. So there is absolutely nothing which is preventing you to give it to him. But it is the weakness of iman and the little ihsan that the person is having, which makes that even those little things he refuses to give it. And Sheikh Abdullah is explaining to us this issue by giving us the example of what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has mentioned in the hadith, saying that al-khayl, meaning the horse, are of three types. The first type is rewards. The second type is sitr, meaning we can say protection. And the third type is wizr, meaning that it will be that will be a sin for you. You will have to carry the weight of torment because of it. So the first type, the type of rewards, is the person who is taking care of his horse because he wants to go and do jihad with it. So everything that he's doing with his horse, spending money on it to feed it and take care of it, keep it healthy so that his horse is strong and has a real benefit in it, all of this is a reward for him. Every single thing he feeds him and how he takes care of this horse is a reward for him. The person who will have his horse as a protection, meaning the second type, is a person who has taken the horse for himself. He's taken benefit from it. He's riding it to go to wherever he needs to go, or transport whatever he needs to transport and carry. And at the same time, he gives Allah's right from this horse. And from it is the fact that he is letting other people riding on it. For example, if somebody is on the way, needs to be taken along, he picks him up on the back of his horse and he takes him with him. And this is like the Prophet, well, like what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has mentioned, said that there is right on the camel, meaning it is from the right upon you, if you have camels, that you take people on the back of those camels, that you help them out by transporting them on your camel, and that you give them from the milk of the she camel. This is from the rights that are upon you from the camel. So this is the second type. And now the third type is the one who will have his horse as a sin. He's the one who's stingy. He takes the horse for himself and does not use it in any good deeds and does not give the rights on it. And to explain this issue furthermore, the issue of the rights on the objects, Shaykh mentioned to us something that Ibn al-Qayyim has mentioned in the issues of lending objects. He's saying, for example, if somebody finds any sort of wealth, whether it be cash or any sort of anything wealthy, an object, whatever, and he borrows it because he's in need of it. After he used it and it's time to give it back, is it obligatory to give rewards to the owner of this goods? For example, if a person finds a cup, to give just as an example, he finds a cup. Now he needs this cup to drink water or to cook or whatever. And he's in need. He's muttar, like we say in Arabic, meaning he's compelled to use it, else he will be in trouble. First of all, does he have the right to use it? Yes, he has the right to use it. Now the ulama diverge on one thing. Is it obligatory after he used it to give to the owner of this cup a reward for having borrowed this cup? Like for example, if you were to lend a car, you will give to the company who lend you a car, you will give them a specific amount of money, which is known in the customs of the people, what we call in Arabic ujratul mithl, which is the reward that you give in accordance to whatever service or whatever, in accordance to what is known in your country. Like for example, if borrowing a cup, if it was known in your country that, you know, if you borrow a cup, you give the owner of the cup half a dollar, then is it obligatory for you after you have been in need and borrowed this cup, is it obligatory for you to give half a dollar? Sheikh Abdullah says the reality is that it's not obligatory for you because you were in a state of darura, you are in a state of need. And another example, the example of a traveler who is in need, he's about to starve and he finds a sheep that has milk, is he allowed to drink from the milk of this sheep? Answer, yes, without any disagreement among the scholars. But again, they disagreed like before. Does he have to give rewards to the owner of this sheep or not? And as Sheikh Abdullah says, because he was in a state of need, it's not obligatory for him to give him ujratul mithl, meaning the normal recompense that he would give from the customs of the people to this owner. All of this is to show us that people have needs, have rights upon us. The people who are in need, they have rights upon us, and they are sometimes very small rights. But it is upon the Muslim to be aware of those rights and to give them to those people who deserve those things. And as has been mentioned in the tafsir, which has been reported from the Sahaba concerning this ma'un, it's sometimes very little things, a cup, a little tool, something we would think is completely without any sort of value, but the reality is that this is from the rights that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made obligatory upon us to help the people who are in need with what we can. And Shaykh Abdullah is saying, look, if this is the case for such little issues like lending a cup and so on and so forth, then how is it for the great obligations like zakah? Zakah, which is the third pillar of Islam, the second pillar after the Shahada, that none has the right to be worshipped other than Allah and that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his messenger. So you understand from this that the right of zakah is huge, yani is huge in this religion. So as a summary, we say that we have learned from this surah great meanings as far as the obligations and the rights of the people are concerned in our religion, and that this surah encompasses great meanings that we have to meditate about and redirect our life in accordance to it. And we ask Allah to give us tawfiq and sadat, to give us the ability to do the things properly and to guide us to whatever is correct. And Shaykh Abdullah stopped huna. We say, Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik, la ilaha illa ant, nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk.